just don't make sense, especially to somebody like me. You know, things that just seem illogical, nonsensical, kind of things like they're non-logical, but they're true nonetheless. So, for example, some of these town names, Berlin, New Hampshire, doesn't make sense to me. Or how about Canadian, Texas? Or Saturn, Indiana? Or there's a Mexico, Indiana. Do you know that? And then, of course, this one really baffles me. Hell, Michigan. So, as I mentioned before, we're doing this sermon series now, Parables and Stuff. And when I say stuff, I'm talking about our money and possessions. And we're taking a look at some of the parables Jesus taught, specifically as Luke records them in his gospel. And the parable we're looking at today is the parable of the dishonest steward. And this is definitely one of the hardest parables to understand. It seems nonsensical, not logical, because our Lord seems to be commending dishonesty in this parable. Needless to say, I struggled with this, preparing for this sermon a lot this week. In fact, you may even notice that by the blank page on the front of the worship sheets. But anyway, I stuck with it. So here is Luke chapter 16, verses 1 through 14. Jesus also said to the disciples, "There was a rich man who had a manager, and charges were brought to him that this man was wasting his possessions. And he called him and said to him, 'What is this that I hear about you? Turn in the account of your management, for you can no longer be manager.' And the manager said to himself, 'What shall I do, since my master is taking the management away from me? I am not strong enough to dig, and I am ashamed to beg. I have decided what to do so that when I am removed from management, people may receive me into their houses.' So, summoning his master's debtors one by one, he said to the first, 'How much do you owe my master?' And he said, 100 measures of oil. He said to him, 'Take your bill and sit down quickly and write 50. Then he said to another, "And how much do you owe?" He said, 100 measures of wheat. He said to him, "Take your bill and write 80. The master commended the dishonest manager for his shrewdness. For the sons of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than the sons of light. And I tell you, make friends for yourselves by means of unrighteous wealth, so that when it fails, they may receive you into the eternal dwellings. One who is faithful in a very little is also faithful in much. And one who is dishonest in a very little is also dishonest in much. If then you have not been faithful in the unrighteous wealth, who will entrust to you the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in that which is another's, who will give you that which is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money." So the first thing when you're looking at parables in God's word is to always try to take it in context, and who is Jesus talking to? And verse 14 here tells us who Jesus is talking to when he tells this parable. The Pharisees, who were lovers of money, heard all these things, and of course, they ridiculed him for it. So that's who Jesus is talking to, the Pharisees, who are lovers of money. And again, we know this is Jesus talking about the problems money can cause in our lives. And Jesus loved to pop the balloons of those who were arrogant and proud, like the Pharisees, which prompted this parable of the dishonest manager. So let me break down this parable a little bit here. We have a rich man slash master. Those terms, sometimes in your translations, it'll be rich man, sometimes it'll be master. Same thing. We have a master who has a manager. He's also called a steward in some translations. So manager or steward. The steward is not the owner of the stuff. He is hired to take care of the master's stuff. The steward was mismanaging the master's possessions and wasting his stuff. The rich man says he can't be the steward due to his mismanaging. He brings him in and tells him, you can't do this anymore. The steward manager now has a problem because he has no job, he has no place to stay, and no hope of future employment. You heard him in the parable say, I can't dig. I'm not strong enough. I'm too proud to beg. So what am I going to do? But the steward comes up with a plan. He goes to the master's debtors and reduces their debts. You following? Because it took me about 4,000 times of reading through this to follow. The steward was making friends for the future. Keep that in mind. And when the master gets wind of this, he does not get mad, interestingly enough, but he commends the dishonest manager for his shrewdness. But notice the master did not commend his dishonesty, but his clever thinking. You know, Jesus sometimes uses unsavory characters to make a point, which is what he is doing here. So what exactly is commendable about this dishonest manager? This dishonest steward? Well, there's three things here that we can take a look at this morning and learn from this dishonest manager. Number one, he looked ahead. He looked ahead. As we manage our money, we will want to look ahead at what could or could not happen. So let's just take promise, for example. We are looking ahead to having a preschool here. So what could happen is we're going to have a bigger budget, and we're going to talk a little bit more about that here. The second thing that the dishonest steward did, he planned ahead. As we manage money, we all do this, right? We all want to make investments, save for retirement, make a will, give to the church or other charities. All these things are good, by the way. There's nothing wrong with saving for retirement. There's nothing wrong with planning for the future in regards to our money. And that's what this dishonest steward is doing. He's planning ahead. And then the third thing he does, he trusted in the master's mercy. Because notice when the master gets wind of what the steward did, he doesn't yell at him, he doesn't scold him, he doesn't have him thrown into jail, which he could have done all those things. Because that's what that dishonest steward deserved. The master had mercy on him. And mercy is defined as not getting something we deserve, is what mercy is. The master is merciful. And again, I want to make the point, the master does not commend his manager for his dishonesty, but for his mercy. Because notice what the dishonest steward did. The manager showed mercy on the debtors, just like the master had shown mercy on the steward. And so the purpose of this parable that Jesus is telling, we always want to focus on how we fit into the story, or like the dishonest steward. We really shouldn't be focusing so much on him, even though we can learn some things here on how Jesus is teaching us. But this is really to reveal, this parable, the Lord's mercy. And in addition to that, the importance of being faithful stewards of our master's stuff. So Jesus says a couple of very important things also besides the parable in this text. And the first one I mentioned before in verse 13, the last verse there, you can't serve two masters. You're either going to love the one and hate the other. You're either going to be committed to the one and not the other. And it may seem obvious, we cannot serve God and money. It can't happen. We can't put them on the same line. We can't even put money ahead of God. We should not. And when we're doing that, this is a first commandment issue, really, which is you shall have no other gods before me. The second we put money number one, or even on the same line as God, to make ourselves feel better, we are putting another God ahead of the one true God. We can't do it, because we're either going to be committed to that, or we're going to be committed to God. We can't be committed to both. And the second thing was an interesting verse Jesus says in verse 9. And I tell you, make friends for yourselves by means of unrighteous wealth, so that when it fails, they may receive you into the eternal dwellings. Here's a couple things that Jesus is not saying here. Jesus is not saying buy your way into heaven. He is not saying that you can pay for your salvation. You know, another reason the steward, or the master, commends the steward is because he's finally using his stuff for good. Because the debtors got a gift, didn't they? He, the steward, the dishonest steward, was making friends for the future. Yes, he was thinking shrewdly. He was also thinking only of himself. Because he's like, if I can make friends with these guys, they're going to help me out when I'm jobless. Because he actually showed mercy on them. You know, Jesus loved the whole world and reconciled it with God the Father. You see, there's this huge chasm between us and God because of our sin. And the only way that we are reconciled, the only way that that chasm goes away is because of the cross, which connects over that great chasm. And because of that, we are reconciled with God the Father. And Jesus spent it all, even emptying himself completely. Listen to Philippians chapter 2, a great verse, talking about how Jesus used all of his resources. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. He emptied himself. This is the Son of God, the God of the universe, who became one of us. That's huge. So he could empty himself and humble himself by taking all of our sins to that cross. And that's what Jesus says here, you notice. You will be welcomed into eternal dwellings. You know, this good news of Jesus emptying himself and taking all of our sins to the cross is just too good to keep to ourselves, isn't it? This news is too good. We can't keep it to ourselves. You know, heaven should be full of people who say, hey, thanks. I'm here because you gave to the church, and that church's ministry led me to Jesus. That's what we want to see when we get to heaven, right? A bunch of people that are thankful that we shared this good news. And this is our whole focus this month, is our giving, our managing the money and stuff that God has given to us. So when you give to Promises Ministry, two things happen, according to what Jesus is saying here. People come to know Jesus, number one. And number two, you make friends for eternity, which is what this dishonest steward really did. You know, there's companies that make burial suits. And guess what? There's no pockets in those suits. And guess why? Because you don't take any of your money or stuff with you. You can't take it with you. But you can send it on ahead. And Jesus is saying to use your affluence for good influence. So as I mentioned before, we're looking to start a preschool here in the year 2025. This is a big deal, brothers and sisters here at Promise. This isn't just some small thing that we're looking to do here. We're getting closer to hiring a director. We're hoping to start this in September of 2025. Our budget is going to increase by over $100,000 because of the preschool in 2025. But guess what? If we can all together, and these are based on real numbers, by the way, and if you want more details on the numbers, ask our treasurer, not me. But if we can all together, all of us, increase our giving by $50 a month, $50 a month, it would cover the projected deficit for Promise in the year due to us starting the preschool next year. Now let me break this down into Scott terms. That's $12.50 a week, which, do I need to go to Culver's every week? The answer is no, I do not. I can cut that out and right there is $50. Do I need that extra streaming service in my house to watch TV I really don't need to watch? The answer is no, I can cut that out. You know, another way to look at this is it's $1.79 a day. If we can all muster $1.80 a day a month, we cover it. We cover it all for 2025 and then some. $1.79 more a day to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And not only through a preschool, by the way. We continue to do this through our children's ministry. You see all the children up here. This is the future Promise sitting up here on this crammed stage. Through our youth ministry with the junior youth, the senior youth. With our men's ministry, our women's ministry. If one soul is saved through us having a preschool, was it worth it? If our children and youth grow in their faith because of our ministries here at Promise? Is it worth it? You know, one thing I can tell you for sure is that you and I are worth it to God so much that he sent his one and only son to die on the cross for our sins. And it may seem like it's something I say a lot, but you know what? This is what it's all about. This is what it's about to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. He did emptied himself for us. And because of that, we get to go into heaven and be with him forever. Because of his great love for us, because he considered us worthy enough to be saved. Amen.